You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Doing a Most Foolish Thing. And now here is Dr. Schultz.
Official statistics tell us that during the last two decades, more and more women have entered the workplace. And because an increasing number of married men and married women spend so much time together, office romances are now booming. Consequently, according to the business section of Maclean's magazine, office romances between married men and married women now contribute significantly to family and marriage breakups. In our so-called modern and well-educated society, people do very, very foolish things. As a result of office romances, thousands every year trade their harmonious homes for a situation of instability. And they often exchange solid relationships of family love and marriage respect for broken relationships, endless hatred, and scars that never heal. All of this, yes, all of this is often on the basis of emotion. People do such foolish things. And in one of the most famous and most interesting of the stories in the Bible, we can also read about one of the most foolish things that a man has ever done. This story is described in the Bible in the book of Genesis chapter 25. This is the story of Isaac and Rebekah. They had two sons. The older son was named Esau and the younger son was named Jacob. In those days, the older son automatically received the birthright. This meant that when the father died, the older son would receive the greater part of the inheritance. And this sometimes meant an inheritance double that of any other child or even more. In this case involving Jacob and Esau, Esau was the older son, therefore he also possessed the birthright. Esau was the one who would be, upon his father's death, legally entitled to the larger part of the inheritance. But according to the Bible, in the situation involving Esau and Jacob, it was also at this very point that a terrible problem arose. You see, the younger brother Jacob secretly coveted. Yes, Jacob wanted in the worst way to get the birthright of his older brother. He wanted the greater inheritance. Consequently, trouble and conflict was now inevitable. One day, the Bible says, the older brother came home from working in the field. He was hungry. His younger brother was cooking some stew. Esau, the older brother, said to his younger brother Jacob, I am starving. Let me have some of the stew. Now, at this point, the younger brother Jacob immediately saw that his older brother was vulnerable. Jacob saw that this was an opportunity to get something that he had always wanted. Jacob wanted Esau's birthright. And so when Esau asked Jacob for some of the stew, Jacob said, Okay, but first sell me your birthright. At that moment, yes, at that moment, casting aside all common sense and guided totally by his emotions, Esau said to Jacob, I am about to die. So of what use is the birthright to me? Then the Bible says, Esau did a very foolish thing. He sold his birthright to Jacob. Esau at that moment gave over his entire future inheritance to his younger brother for no more than a pot of stew. Oh, how foolish this was, how shameful this was, but also how similar it is to today. Men and women, husbands and wives, by the thousands are giving up a happy family life and a good marriage, all for the sake of momentary romantic emotion. This is a terrible thing. Yes, it's a tragic thing. But now I'm going to tell you something that is even worse, something that is very much worse. You see, there are literally millions of people in our society today who are doing the most foolish thing. You see, they were at one time close to the Lord, and through faith in Jesus Christ, they were, like Esau, in line to receive a great spiritual and heavenly inheritance. However, because of the temptations of this world, many today have decided to forget about the Lord and to give up their precious inheritance and to follow the world instead. Thousands have opted for the temporal and have given away the eternal. Indeed, millions today have sold, yes, they have traded away all of endless eternity and the endless joy and bliss with God for a cheap and momentary fling with fleeting happiness. Oh, people do such foolish things. Now, when we first hear this, of course, that people are giving up eternity in exchange for short-term worldly happiness, this does not seem to be all that great a problem, at least not in the society in which you and I are living. However, did you know that over half of all those people today in our society who don't go to church, did you know that these same people were at one time very active either in their church or their Sunday school? Yes, this same group of people who now no longer go to church were in line for receiving from God the greatest inheritance in the whole world, the inheritance of heaven. The Gallup poll has announced that 59%, yes, nearly 60% of all people who are now unchurched had been at one time active either in church or in Sunday school during their childhood or their youth. And maybe one of these individuals is you today. Maybe you are one of those who has traded away their eternal inheritance, a precious inheritance of salvation given to you by your loving and gracious God. And you have traded all of this for a few hours or even a few years of passing emotion and fleeting joy of this world. And if you are one of those who now no longer goes to church or Sunday school, or one of those who feels church and prayer and worshiping God are not all that important, let me urge you to rethink at this very moment what you are really doing. Oh, I know that some of you may be thinking that I am making all too much of the idea that God is some type of great heavenly inheritance that He wants each of us to have. But no, my friend, this is not my idea. This idea is in the Bible, where we read about the great inheritance that God would like you to have. For instance, in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 32, we read, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3 about the promised inheritance of God. This promise, the Bible says, is given unto all those who remain faithful to Jesus Christ. Again, in Ephesians chapter 1, St. Paul writes that through faith in Jesus Christ, we obtain an inheritance. And again, St. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory and His inheritance for the saints." In the book of Hebrews, we read that it is for this reason that Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. And so, my friend, we could go on and on and on, listing from the Bible the many ways in which God, in His Word, talks about the eternal inheritance that He promises to give unto all those who love and trust in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The idea of God giving His inheritance unto His children, those that He so dearly loves, is a thread that runs throughout the entire Bible. But of all the biblical expressions of this great gospel inheritance, which our gracious Heavenly Father is now offering unto you and unto all sinners, no expression is more beautiful, more picturesque, more down-to-earth, and more moving than that passage of sacred Scripture that the Apostle Peter wrote in his first epistle. St. Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His great mercy, has caused us to be born again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now the Bible says, God does all of this in Jesus Christ so that you and I might obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. This inheritance, the Bible says, is reserved in heaven for you and for all those who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this hope, the Bible states, you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. These trials are taking place so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love Jesus. And even though you do not see him now, yet you believe in him, and you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining, the Bible says, obtaining as the outcome of your faith your inheritance from God, the salvation of your souls. Oh, my friends, you can blunder when you do your income tax, and you can make a wrong decision when you buy your car. You can make a wrong decision when you buy a new dress. You can even accidentally say things you later wish you would have never said. And yet all of these mistakes, all of them put together, can never be as great a mistake as when you turn away or you give away or discard through indifference the great and precious eternal inheritance that your Heavenly Father wants to give you today through faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, He earned for all people of every race and every nation full and complete salvation. Jesus' bloody death on the cross paid the penalty in full of all your sins and mistakes. This total and complete forgiveness from God in Jesus Christ is the great inheritance that God wishes you to have forever. In the Bible, Titus chapter 3, we read that all those who are justified by God's grace also become heirs of His inheritance. And thereby they possess, the Bible says, the great and glorious hope of eternal life. And my friend, it is also when you by faith believe and trust fully in the saving power of the sin-atoning blood of Jesus that your name is then written with the blood of Jesus in God's book of life. And so then, my friend, it is a sobering experience to see that over the centuries, some of the most intelligent people have also done some of the most foolish things. Very early in Bible history, we read where Esau sold his precious birthright to his brother Jacob for a paltry bowl of soup. Today, untold thousands of husbands and wives are trading their solid marriages and happy homes for a cheap and fleeting office romance, which all too often ends up destroying homes and wrecking untold lives. But the greatest tragedy, yes, the greatest tragedy today, revealed by the Gallup poll, is that there are so many millions who at one time went to church and Sunday school. Now they no longer attend. And for these people, God is no longer the most important thing in their life. Consequently, like Esau, they have sold their heavenly birthright, and they have traded their eternal inheritance for fleeting worldly happiness. Yes, they have given up. They have foolishly traded that which is eternal and permanent for that which is only momentary and fleeting. Oh, indeed, people do such very foolish things. And so then today, may we on this broadcast lovingly urge you to rethink your spiritual condition. Discard immediately all temptations to build your future both for this life and for eternity upon the shifting sands of worldly foundations. Instead, by faith, grasp firmly unto the immovable Jesus Christ, the eternal rock, the unfailing foundation for faith, which is here today and which will also be here tomorrow and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Believe in Him, my friend. Place your full trust in Him, and you will surely be saved. By God's grace in Jesus Christ, you will surely receive that great and eternal inheritance that God has already prepared for you. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.